the afternoon and evening hours, and not much change on Friday. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Check out ASC Credit Union's free Kasasa Cashback Checking Account. With cashback, you can earn 3% cashback on all purchases. Qualifications and rules apply. See an ASC rep for more details. Federally insured by the NCUA. Online at yourascu.com. ASC Credit Union. Your life, your goals, your ASE.
From Alabama News Network, I'm Andrew James. Montgomery's first charter school will open its doors today. Lead Academy is open to grades K through 5. 360 students are currently enrolled. School leaders say their goal is to have class sizes around 24 students. Sunday marked the one-year anniversary of the fire that destroyed part of Booker T. Washington Magnet School. Students have been housed in the vacant Haneville Road Elementary School building since the fire. Montgomery Public School leaders have not released a plan or timeline for a future home for the school. And a deadline has passed for the Alabama Democratic Party to elect new leaders. National party officials gave the state until August 17th to hold new elections for chairman and vice chairman and to adopt new bylaws and encourage participation by more minorities. And that's a look at today's headlines. For more on these stories and others, watch Alabama News Network on CBS 8 and ABC 32. I'm Andrew James.
The views and opinions of the following program are solely those of the host and other contributors. These do not necessarily represent those of Liberty Acquisitions 825, Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, staff, or any advertisers.
Well, I've got some good news and some bad news. The good news is the economy is on the up and up, but the bad news is your adjustable rate is on its way up too. I'm Kim Williams with Alabama Home Mortgage, and if you currently have an adjustable rate mortgage, listen up. An adjustable rate mortgage provides you with a lower rate and payment at the start, but it fluctuates each adjustment period based on financial reports. The better the economy, the better the financial reports, the higher your adjustable rate. Your low monthly payment could skyrocket overnight. Don't be caught off guard. By refinancing to a fixed rate with Alabama Home Mortgage, you can go to sleep with the peace of mind that your rate will not change, no matter the state of the economy. Call my team today at 567-4223 or visit us online at alahomemortgage.com. That's alahomemortgage.com to get the peace of mind of a fixed rate Alabama Home Mortgage. NMLS 1586-368, Equal Housing Lender.
Almost everyone has a pet, or multiple pets. Think about it. Now think about this. Since we love our pets so much, we all need a pet doctor, don't we? They get sick, they need grooming, sometimes they even may need surgery. Ever come home from work and that sweet pet looks like they just ate a sock? Or that they look like they're limping, or they're scratching more than usual? What if they have a toothache? You've got to have a vet you trust so completely that you'll trust them with your pet. What if you want to get a chip implanted because they have this habit of getting out of the back gate? Montgomery Veterinary Associates is where you need to take your pet. Dan's been using Montgomery Veterinary Associates for decades, so talk about someone you can trust. The next time you have something happen to your pet or you just need a regular checkup, and take your furry friend to MVA. Their number is 271-1003, 271-1003. Montgomery Veterinary Associates will help you take great care of that furry four-legged member of your family.
When news happens, you'll hear about it first. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Police have thwarted not one, but two suspected mass shootings. The threats came on social media and via text message and are just the latest in a rash of threats across the country.
Tragedy striking the tiny town of Unionville, New York, when a small plane slammed into a home, destroying it and killing two.
Rescuers are working nonstop to keep a fishing trip from turning into tragedy. The wife of Brian McClooney not giving up after her husband and another firefighter, Justin Walker, disappeared.
Professional motorbike racer Luke Mossy is recovering from a terrifying crash. The British biker was on a training run when he lost control and almost got run over by another bike.
Federal appeals court just ruled detained migrant children are entitled to adequate food, water, bedding, toothbrushes, and soap.
The Good Boys got straight A's this weekend at the box office. Went right to the top of the box office, $21 million.
It's the Dan Morris Show. Join the conversation by calling 272-9228. And now, here's Dan Morris.
Welcome back, everyone. News Talk 93.1 FM, Dan Morris Show, on a Monday. Starting your week out right. 272-9228. First-time callers, need to let Joey, the producer, know. We'll get your name in for the calling. For the Fresh Market $50 gift card, $50 gift card from Fresh Market. Any caller can get in on the Sweet Creek Farm Market gift basket. What's in that gift basket? $60 worth of goodies that you put in there from Sweet Creek Farm Market. Red Top crammed it full of Gouda cheese. He's going to turn into a cheese wheel himself. What did he say? He got a half a dozen?
I think something like that. It was such an astounding amount of cheese, I forgot. It's a lot.
I wonder if he put it on a hamburger like he said he was going to do. And then he said that the listener knew about him and about he and his Gouda cheese there. I like that. Before I get to Stacey Abrams here, let me do the Stacey Abrams thing. That should take me through to the 20, then you leave you. That's the NASA program. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. OMG is kind of interesting. This Stacey Abrams, you all remember her. She ran for governor of Georgia, former speaker of the Georgia legislature. And everybody just fell in love with her. I was not impressed with her at all. I thought she was way over the top. But she's working on helping to stop voter suppression and election interference. This is on CBS this morning.
There is a new push to make sure that every eligible ballot is counted in 2020. It's led by Stacey Abrams, a 2018 Democratic candidate for governor of Georgia. She lost to Republican Brian Kemp by less than 2% of the vote. Abrams says that voter suppression led to her defeat. The election was marred by widespread reports of irregularities. Her new organization, Fair Fight 2020, is working to ensure that all voters have access to the polls. The organization is bringing awareness and advocating for election reform at all levels. It's engaging in targeted voter registration and other voter outreach programs. And we're glad to say that Stacey Abrams joins us at the table this morning. Voter suppression would seem very personal to you. But when you look at what voters are interested and concerned about, it's not on their list of top three, top five, top 10. What is it that you want people to know? How can we make people understand why this is so important?
Voter suppression is the baseline that determines whether your voice is heard, whether the values and the policies that you want ever come to fruition. We have to recognize that voter suppression is no longer the images from the 1960s or the laws of the 1960s that forbade voting for African Americans or the denial to Native Americans of citizenship until 1924. What we're talking about is whether you can register and stay on the rolls, whether you can cast your ballot, and whether your ballot is counted. And we have to think about that entire spectrum, because over the last 20 years, we have seen numerous laws propagated that have eroded your ability to do those things, especially if you're in a marginalized community, a community of color, or from a community that is seen as less valuable to the Republican Party.
Less valuable to the Republican Party. This is one of these things that I am going to... There's this thing I believe that's out there. There's a dragon, and I'm going to go out and slay this dragon, this mythical beast that's out there. Now, she's going to come in here, and she's going to actually... voter fraud is not real. Suppression, it is. Listen to this.
Because you say it's no longer hoses.
It isn't.
It's no longer hoses in the streets.
It's much more insidious. These laws look racially and facially neutral, meaning if you just talk about them in public, everyone thinks, oh, that's a great idea.
Race neutral, right. Good. Yeah.
But then you realize that, for example, in North Dakota, they passed a law saying you have to have a residential address on your driver's license. Most Native Americans do not have residential addresses because they live on reservations. Mm. Therefore, they disenfranchise thousands of Native Americans. We have to think about not only what the law says, but what the law does, and that's what we're trying to tackle.
What do you say to people who say that voter ID laws or exact match policies are essentially protecting the election process?
First of all, voter fraud is a myth. It does not exist.
Didn't
people
exist.
Aren't putting on fake mustaches trying to vote twice. But voter suppression is real. We know that voter ID laws seem perfectly normal. But if you lived in Alabama when they passed their voter ID law, they also shut down 2/3, I believe, of the organizations of the DMVs in black communities so that the very people who needed those IDs would not be able to get them. If you live in Indiana, where they moved your polling place in Hamilton County outside of the bounds of the city, if you didn't have a car, you couldn't get to vote. And so what we have to recognize is that, again, these laws seem very basic, but the application and the implication is that your vote doesn't matter. And that's why FairFight2020.org is designed to go beyond registration. We focus on voter protection, mm-hmm. getting you on the rolls, making sure you can stay on the rolls, and making sure your ballot can be cast and counted.
Okay, She mentioned Alabama. Now, we know something about this state. We know something about what she's talking about. She doesn't know what she's talking about. I remember when this happened. You remember Alabama was having some financial issues, and they had to close down some of the probate offices. You remember that? And where they were doing licenses? But John Merrill, with the Secretary of State, basically said, we'll come to you, and we'll give you an ID. She was like, she was confusing people renewing a license with being able to vote. It was only a very short period of time that was even in place because of financial issue. But see, this is what happens. You completely make something up. You take a fact. You change it to meet your narrative so you can say there's a boogeyman that's out there. Excuse me. For her to say that voter fraud does not exist, that is amazing. We had John Merrill in the studio talk about what happened up in Jefferson County, where you had more people, more votes that were cast than people that had signed the registry. More votes were cast. And he had found a problem with it. He had people that were getting absentee ballots and mishandling them. The judge that was over in, I forgot which county, I think it was Dallas County. But see, this is what happens. You make up a story to fit your narrative to basically say, did you hear how absolute voter fraud does not happen? It's a myth. Voter suppression, that's where the real problem is. So now she can get into the rigged system here.
In discussing these issues, you've said that elections are in effect rigged, which is a word that President Trump has also used, and I see you nodding there. In using a word like rigged, I have to ask, it's a frightening word, and I wonder, does it contribute to a possible scenario where people on either side of an election outcome don't accept the results?
There's a lot that's been made of the fact that I did not concede my election, but I never denied the legal sufficiency of that election. And that's the difference between me and Trump. He refuses to acknowledge the legal sufficiency or threatens not to. But my point is that the laws are wrong. We have to fix those laws because as long as we have eligible American citizens who cannot cast a ballot, then the game is rigged because in a democracy, you should be allowed to make your voice heard. And as long as there are rules that prevent that from happening, rules that should not exist, that's a problem for America.
Amazing. Amazing. She never conceded her election because she didn't want to acknowledge that there was nothing that was wrong. And she's going to get in a little bit later into this interview. We're going to be talking about being asked to run for vice president. But let's listen to the second part of this, not conceding.
You mentioned not conceding. The chair of the RNC, Rona McDaniel, you're smiling because I'm sure you've heard this tweet yesterday. If Stacey Abrams actually cared about integrity of elections, she'd concede the Georgia governor's race that she lost by 55,000 votes. Instead, she's on national TV today still thinking she's won. Why haven't you conceded?
Because concession means to say that the process was fair. But when I run an organization that in 10 days, between election night and the night I refused to concede, we received more than 50,000 phone calls of people who were denied the right to vote, I am complicit if I say that system is fair. I did not deny the legal sufficiency of the election. I am not claiming to be the governor of Georgia, despite what Breitbart and others like to say.
Yeah.
What I have said is that we won the battle of making sure more voices were heard because we had the highest record turnout in Georgia history for Democrats.
And your opponent was in charge of the
polling. My opponent was in charge of the process.
Yes.
But the other thing to remember is, look, because there are more people in the water, that doesn't mean there are fewer sharks.
Okay.
You can have higher turnout, but that doesn't diminish the fact that voter suppression is real and affecting people across the country.
Okay, so they had the largest black turnout, Democrat turnout, in Georgia history, and she still lost. That's what it gets down to. Let's go to Joel. Joel, welcome aboard the Dan Moore Show.
Thank you, Dan. Yeah, John Merrill spoke to the Republicans up in Elmore County, and he told us that 96% of all eligible blacks are registered to vote in the state of Alabama, and 92% of all eligible whites are registered to vote in Alabama. He has done an extremely good job as far as going out to the communities.
He has.
He said they've actually gone to people's houses before. So it just makes you mad when you hear somebody like this dupus from Georgia. She's the same one that said she wasn't worried about farmers, about milk and all, because you've got grocery stores to get milk from. So she's a nut.
Well, nut or not, what she is she's basically putting out propaganda. about something that does not, she's mischaracterizing things. And I hate it when she takes Alabama and uses us as an issue when she is completely wrong.
I'm trying to get you off the, okay. What I was saying was also, John said they was taking the federal court, and that the judge said if every state in the union was as good as Alabama about the ID law, that it would be excellent, that Alabama is one to look up to.
Yeah.
Because we do everything right here.
Yep, and there was a lady that was on America's Newsroom today saying, now why did the federal government make Georgia go back and get all brand new voting machines? And her implication was because something was wrong with the voting machine. What was wrong with the voting machines is there was nothing to trace, there was not a paper ballot attached to it. And the federal government basically said, here's money for you to move to a paper ballot so you'll have a record of the vote that was there. She made it sound like it was some nefarious plot that was out there. And that's what Democrats do. They create this image that is not true. It's propaganda.
Well, you're correct there. You and Joey have a good day. I'm out in it's hot out here.
I can tell you. I bet it is. Joel, thanks for the telephone call. Guys, I have to go to an eye appointment for my surgery for Wednesday and my post-surgery, so I'm going to cut out of here and leave this in the capable hands of the one and only Joey Clark. Joey, thank you for a great show, my friend.
Of course, good show.
Guys, be good, be safe. Be back with me tomorrow at 12 o'clock. I'm going to keep doing it until I get it right. Joey Clark picks up the ball from here. Adios.
Dan Morris Show.
The biggest and baddest broadcast in all the land. Happy Hour with Greg Budell and Joey Clark. Afternoons 3 to 6 on the River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
If you have a pool, you know about needing help with it from time to time. I have found that company for you, Fagan Pool Service. They're a Regal Chemical dealer. They've been in business over 40 years. Regal Chemicals are the very top of the line. This is family-owned, father-son duo. They handle all repairs such as pool liners, pumps, motors, filters, salt generators, leak detection, you name it. American run by two veterans, so you can trust they know the importance of hard work, dedication, and integrity.
Has your pool lost its fun? We keep you in the swim of things. Call 201-1819, 201-1819, Fagan Pool Service.
I was looking for a great birthday gift idea for my mom. I heard that Dan Black Studios has gift certificates for preserving video, photos, and slides, and I thought that would be perfect for her boxes of home movies. They can even take the photos and videos from my smartphone and convert them to a DVD, flash drive, or even put them on the cloud. You can order gift certificates online at danblackstudios.net or visit their location on Monticello Drive. Call Dan Black Studios for more details. 334-279-6036.
Have you ever thought you'd like to own a zero-turn riding mower, but you just couldn't justify because either your yard is too small or the price is too big? Hey folks, Bruce Holding with CTE Outdoor Power introducing the new Hustler Dash. At only 34 inches wide, the Hustler Dash is perfect for small yards. And starting at only $21.99 or payments as low as $50 a month, it's the perfect price. Bottom line, the Hustler Dash is the most compact, affordable zero-turn on the market today. And when you purchase CTE's VIP package, you get free delivery upon purchase. And for as long as you own your Hustler, you'll get free pickup and delivery, free blade sharpening, our 7-day repair guarantee, and a free rental mower while yours is in our service department. Well, with service like that, why go anywhere else? And military personnel, to honor you, please ask about our military discounts. CTE Outdoor Power, I-85 at Perry Hill Road, and CTEOutdoorPower.com.
The River Region's 24-hour news talk station. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV. The Dan Morris Show.
Welcome back, folks. This should be a theme song for the press in general. Mainstream media, alternative media, we like to focus on the fact that we're all going to hell. While everything keeps getting better and better, but I want to shift gears here and go to Newt Gingrich, who will be addressing some of the doomsayers, talking about the economy. Take it away, Newt Gingrich.
Television over the last couple of days, there's been a lot of reporting about how it looks like we're aiming for a recession because there was an inverted yield curve thing in the trade war with China. What do you make of it?
Well, look, I think every left-wing reporter in the country and every Democratic presidential candidate is desperate for a recession. It's kind of weird. You know, they're running to be president in the hopes that more Americans will be unemployed. And so any indicator of any kind that gives them an excuse to say, oh, the recession's on the way, the recession's on the way, just makes them feel good. Now, the fact is that the president's policies are working overall, that the decline, for example, in the cost of oil and gas and natural gas is the equivalent of a big tax cut, and that we're going through a lot of changes. And the changes in a free market, you get turmoil. You get somebody invents Apple, somebody invents a computer,
right,
somebody invents a new drug. And so there's a lot of churning, but so far at least, we're probably the healthiest economy on the planet, and we're more likely to avoid a recession than any other major country in the world.
No, and Newt Gingrich is absolutely right about free markets, about capitalism, take the word you want to use for it, market-tested betterment, whatever, trade-tested betterment. But there is churning. There are ups and downs, but through testing things out, through trade and competition, we come up with some of the best solutions. Solutions and innovations. And that's one word for it, innovationism, or innovism, if you might want to call it that. And we're slowly moving forward with this. We have been since the year 1800. It's a remarkable chapter in human history we're now living. Of course, we always focus on the here and now with the political press. Any sign of a coming recession, well, let's pin the tail right on President Trump, the bad orange man in the White House. Now, Trump brings it on because he wants to take credit for the great economy, and to some extent, he does deserve credit. He has removed some of the tax burden. He has removed some of the regulatory, not just cost and burden, but uncertainty in the regulatory realm. He's mixed in a little bit of uncertainty with the trade war going on with China, but that is becoming more and more as we watch what's going on in Hong Kong. China's now apparently pissed at Hong Kong, well, not necessarily just Hong Kong now, but Taiwan as well, since Taiwan offered asylum to those in trouble in Hong Kong. Things continue to heat up in that part of the world. So China more and more is not becoming just an economic rival, but is a true geopolitical rival. Not quite analogous to what happened with the Soviet Union Leviathan, but we should be wide-eyed and clear-eyed in dealing with China going forward. So the economy's going gangbusters. Will it, we, you know, stay away from a recession forever? Probably not. Probably not. If you look at what's going on in the global economy, Dan and I talked about this some earlier, with negative interest rates and essentially just experimental, loose, fast and loose monetary policies around the world, as well as some stupid government policies around the world, it could be that the global economy slows down. But for the time being, without any look at the politics, the economy's going pretty well. And for the larger issue of what sort of economic system should we have, because this apparently will be up for debate in 2020, especially if, say, Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders win the Democratic nomination, is capitalism, are free markets, is freedom essentially in the realm of trade and property rights good? Yes, it is, obviously. I don't have to go a long way to convince people probably listening to these radio programs here on News Talk. But there are a lot of people out there that are always and everywhere looking to talk about the sins of capitalism. Pessimisms from the right and the left, but especially the left these days. Pessimisms of why capitalism is just this terrible, terrible system that we should just do away with. And we'll have the whole of life be political and, in one form or fashion, nudged or controlled by the government in order to make sure you're safe and secure and comfortable. And we'll call anything, any safety, any security, any comfort, a right that you are owed just for the fact of existing. But here's the thing. Capitalism, trade-tested betterment, innovism, whatever you want to call it, innovating through free trade amongst ourselves as Americans and around the world makes us all better because it allows people the opportunity to test out their ideas, and then the best ideas sometimes get lit on fire and they're a rocket into the sky, and you get these major success stories like Apple, like Amazon, even like Facebook. And then as Facebook, maybe, and Amazon, Facebook in particular, let's focus on, just, they go a little too far. Their policies on big data sharing and advertising is a little too much for some folks. Competitors will pop up. This is the nature of the free market. When we look at things like the problem with big tech, censoring speech and whatnot, I see it as an innovation problem, as a market trade problem. We need to innovate something that takes down these big behemoths, or at least checks them into behaving in a better manner. And you believe you me, there are people out there right now trying to innovate around the big tech sector, and they're coming up with some pretty cool stuff. Just look into the blockchain sector and world. And it's not just things like cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin, Litecoin, Ripple, whatever. I mean, things like Ethereum, and I'm not going to go below the line too much, but just check out the blockchain sector. I think it is potentially could upset the big tech sector. But this is the nature of why we're so rich. We're you know, right now, we're all living better than kings of queens or all of old. And it's been going like this since the year 1800, the last 200 years or so. Massive innovation. Wealth gains for the poorest among us. Much better to be living today at the bottom of the income scale than, say, even in the 1970s. Even with nominal real wages seeming to be flat, you can buy more with that wage. So things are getting better. Free markets, innovation, capitalism, for lack of a better word, is the way to continue to go. Are there some problems with our current system? Yes, of course. But it's, again, the best game we have in town. Freedom is the least worst option if you want to be somewhat pessimistic about it. But over the last few days, I've been following this, and after the break, I'm going to let Newt Gingrich speak to it, and then I have more to follow up. Some of the attackers of capitalism and of free markets, of essentially free people trading with one another, have tried to fix a millstone around the neck of capitalism by saying capitalism was all about slavery. Good Lord. It's a ridiculous attack. And if people really start believing crap like that, then we are on the highway to hell. But we'll have to speak about that after the break. Capitalism and slavery are not two peas in a pod. They're very much opposed, but we'll get into the dirty details. The dirty, dirty details, as offered by the New York Times these days in their rush to smear the best economic game we have in town. You're listening to The Dan Moore Show. Joey Clark filling in for Dan Moores. We'll be right back. Don't need reason. Don't need rhyme.
Morris Show.
He's coming or going. But whether you're going to work or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings, 6 till 9, and afternoons, 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
MontgomeryAreaHelpWanted.com presents the world's worst boss. The one who posts jobs on huge national job sites, looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
Listen up, everybody. I'm happy to say that our office will be doing a winter coat drive.
I think I have something.
Actually, they just need men's coats in a size medium, preferably light blue.
What charity is this exactly?
The None of Your Business Foundation.
Don't be a Dave. Find your perfect local employee at MontgomeryAreaHelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Hello, Mike here from Capital City Ace Hardware. We've been advertising with Blue Water Broadcasting for some time now, and we've seen a fantastic upturn in business because of it. The folks at Blue Water Broadcasting are so easy to work with, so give them a call. You'll be glad that you did, just like we are here at Capital City Ace Hardware.
Call us at Blue Water Broadcasting and find out how we can help grow your business. Blue Water Broadcasting. Local folks helping local business.
Fox News, I'm Steve Rappaport. The NYPD firing the officer who used a banned chokehold that led to the death of Eric Garner 5 years ago, Commissioner James O'Neill.
The unintended consequence of Mr. Garner's death must have a consequence of its own. Therefore, I agree with the Deputy Commissioner of Trials' legal findings and recommendations. It is clear that Daniel Pantaleo can no longer effectively serve as a New York City police officer.
The police union in a statement says the commissioner chose politics and his own self-interest over the officers he claims to lead. Attorney General William Barr removing the acting director of the Bureau of Prisons.
All of this stemming as a result of what happened to Jeffrey Epstein at MCC. Attorney General William Barr saying there were serious irregularities at the Metropolitan Correctional Center that allowed for Jeffrey Epstein to hang himself in a suicide, according to the autopsy report.
Fox's Brian Yenis. America is listening to Fox News.
Rich Thomas Weather, brought to you by H&H Carpet. For all floor covering and granite products, see H&H Carpets for the guaranteed best price. H&H Carpets, across from Walmart on the Atlanta Highway.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Well, hi, everybody. We have a heat advisory in effect for today with a high temperature in the upper 90s and a heat index near or above the 105 danger range. There'll be scattered random showers and thunderstorms in rather generous supply later today. Good luck on your rain chances. Tonight's low 74. Tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday, not much day-to-day change. Hot and humid with a high in the middle 90s. A better than normal chance of those random showers and thunderstorms each day in the afternoon and evening hours. And not much change on Friday. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
CB&S Bank, formerly Prime South Bank, is excited to be part of your neighborhood. CB&S Bank is a community bank with 113 years of being committed to the communities they serve. Come see the people you know and trust in Tallahassee, Wetumpka, Pike Road, and Birmingham. Member FDIC Equal Housing Lender.
The premier place the River Region turns to for news, weather, traffic, and opinion. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
You're listening to The Dan Morris Show on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
Welcome back to The Dan Morris Show. Joey Clark filling in for Dan Morris. Dan had to go get his eyes checked before his procedure on Wednesday. Getting those eyes fixed up. Well, after having my eye procedure, it's a life-changing event. So, best of luck to Dan there. We all understand the need to go to the doctor's office. But where we left off here, folks, it's one thing for the political press to say, oh, recession's coming, recession's coming. Maybe the monetary policies of the globe and this own country have set us up for a big crash coming. But nobody really knows for sure, and they just want to yell recession when they know a strong economy probably means re-election for Donald J. Trump. Now they're attacking, in a more general sense, from the New York Times, a new project called 1619. They're essentially tying slavery and capitalism together at the hip. Well, here's Newt Gingrich on this new, well, lie.
Newt, I want to ask you about the New York Times Magazine. I know you read it as much as you can, launching a new crusade to reframe America as defined by slavery and racism. Here's the headline I want to show it to you. The 1619 Project, and the quote inside says, it aims to reframe the country's history, understanding 1619 is our true founding and placing the consequences of slavery and the contributions of black Americans at the very center of the story we tell ourselves about who we are. You're a historian. Your reaction?
Yeah, the whole project is a lie. Look, I think slavery is a terrible thing. I think putting slavery in context is important. We still have slavery in places around the world today, so we need to recognize this is an ongoing story. I think certainly if you're an African American, slavery is at the center of what you see as the American experience. But for most Americans, most of the time, there were a lot of other things going on. There were several hundred thousand white Americans who died in the Civil War in order to free the slaves. The fact is, I saw one reference that the New York Times claims that the American Revolution was caused in part to defend slavery. That is such historically, factually false nonsense that it's embarrassing that the New York Times is doing this. But if you saw the recent leaked interview, town hall meeting with the New York Times editor, he basically said, look, we blew it on Russian collusion, didn't work. Now we're going to go to racism. That's our new model. The next 2 years will be Trump and racism. This is a tragic decline of the New York Times into a propaganda paper worthy of Pravda or Izvestia in the Soviet Union.
Well said, Newt Gingrich, and he was taking on the historical inaccuracies there. In a second, just some basic economic inaccuracies about the historical record and how much slavery contributed to, say, the Southern economy, to the American economy as a whole. It's based on, well, false information, being charitable, lies, if you ask me on another day. But let's first go to Duke. Hey, Duke, what's up?
Hey, how are you?
I'm all right. Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. It's amazing. The media is... It's amazing how they're trying to destroy this president. It's just unreal.
Well, at this point, it's par for the course, though, man. We're wise to their tricks.
Yeah. Hey, there was a famous person in my neighborhood Saturday.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. It was you.
What?
I was the guy on that bicycle at the stop sign.
Really?
Do you remember?
Yeah.
You had your earbud in. I said, and that's Joey Clark. And he drove off by then, and I thought, damn. And I talked to Gary G, and I said, didn't he drive a red convertible?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was him. But anyway.
Saturday morning over in County Downs?
Yeah, Bellhurst. But yeah, I saw you. I said, damn, you got a little goatee going, I believe. It looks good.
Oh, yeah. No, it's not completely a goatee. My beard comes in patchy. I'm just not happy with it. But no, I was over there doing my... my grandfather's lawn over in County Down, so I was driving over there to do some yard work.
Well, cool. Well, it was good to see you, man.
Yeah, good to see you. I didn't know that, Duke. Yeah, well, small world. Appreciate it.
Talk at you later. Bye.
Now, another part of this 1619 project for the New York Times Magazine is, yes, taking on American history and reframing it in the context of, we all realize slavery is important, but it really explains everything about the country. It's also trying to again say that capitalism was only successful because of slavery. Now, you can go throughout human history, people have owned slaves, massive amounts of slaves, all sorts of different powerful empires had this practice, and they didn't see the growth like we saw starting in, say, about the year 1800. So something else was going on besides slavery that accounts for the gains in American life and all over the Western world. This project, though, 1619, is essentially garbage in terms of its accuracy on historical and economic grounds. Now, set aside the fact, number one, if you're going to try to claim that capitalism was all about slavery, set aside the fact that the original proponents of free markets, people like Adam Smith, you might have known the guy who wrote, The Wealth of Nations that everybody cites, David Ricardo, part of the Scottish Enlightenment. Both Adam Smith, David Ricardo were, abolitionists. The fact that slavery is completely incompatible with the very idea of individual freedom, including economic freedom. Let's also set aside the fact that at the political founding of the United States, there were tremendous debates between the founders about slavery. Many of these founders, like Ben Franklin and John Adams, were abolitionists. And even those who weren't, like Jefferson and Washington, wrote a lot about how much they detested the overall institution of slavery. The evidence the New York Times has presented so far has been built on the shoddiest possible scholarship. And here's where the biggest problem comes from, especially on the point about capitalism. A lot of these problems come from a so-called academic, Edward Baptiste, however the hell you say his last name. He's a historian who wrote a book a few years ago called, quote, "The Half Has Never Been Told," which made popular this patently incorrect claim that slaves were responsible for half of the entire GDP of the country in 1836. 50% of gross national product, gross domestic product, was because of the institution of slavery. And he arrives at this claim by triple counting transactions and failing to understand the basic definitions of the economic terms he used in his own book. The real figure, by the way, and this is checked out by historians, economists, economic historians, the real figure in 1836 that slavery contributed, and it did contribute some to the GDP, was 5%. He claims 50. The New York Times is claiming 50. They're trying to make the point, and they're ironically falling into a... in their rush to damn capitalism and smear it with the original sin, the stain of slavery, they're essentially making the arguments of the old slave owners about the importance of the institution, the propaganda the slave owners fed to the rest of the population to justify what they were doing. Now, and let's not mention the fact that when the Civil War breaks out, because of the lack of development in the South, due to the fact that you have a whole entire economy built on an enslaved population, the South is not as productive and cannot compete with the North in economic terms in the war. And it's a big problem for the South in the war. These are all should be obvious things. And if you just use a little common sense, a free person, even a person who doesn't have a lot of opportunity, even a person who isn't making wages you think they should make, a free person who can work and take home their own money will be more innovative, will be, well, more productive than somebody who is enslaved. Shocking, I know. Not to mention the moral claims. It's unreal that the New York Times is pushing this. But when this scholar, so-called scholar, Edward Baptiste and others who have written for this project for the New York Times, when they've been called out by other academics on Twitter in the past few days, they have, of course, resorted to calling their critics racist and all sorts of other personal attacks. Baptiste even did this to The Economist, which gave him a poor review. His response to The Economist and their criticism was, "This just shows how much white people don't want to admit their crimes." Oh, by the way, Edward Baptiste is also white. So why does this matter? Why? Well, it matters because truth matters, and these popular narratives that get built on nonsense on stilts, tend to have far-reaching consequences. For another, it matters because capitalism, trade-tested betterment, free markets, and innovation has been a radical force for good in the world, especially for people who have been previously enslaved. Keep in mind that as an institution, slavery is thousands of years old. Egyptians and Mesopotamians had slaves. Greeks and Romans had slaves. Rus Vikings created a massive slave network throughout Russia and Eastern Europe. China had slaves. Norse Vikings had slaves. Everywhere people have existed for millennia, there were slaves. Until the rise of classical liberalism, with an abolitionist bent, giving each individual his right and true dignity and freedom, as well as dignity and freedom and a right to pursue that freedom and his happiness in the economic realm. The rise of freer markets and more individual economic freedom coincided with the decline and eventual abolition of slavery. The fact that 5% of American GDP at the peak of the cotton economy in the South in 1836 was attributable to slavery is important. It was an institution that enriched the wealthiest landowners, the crony capitalists, so to speak, if you can even call them that, of their day. Otherwise, it was a very morally disgusting system, and also economically inefficient and dumb. Notably, the free states of the North were far wealthier and far more productive without slavery. This is not to diminish or disregard the massive contributions made by those enslaved. But the idea that freer markets, this is what essentially the New York Times is claiming, relied on slavery to function is so mind-bogglingly wrong and dumb. I can't even offer a charitable interpretation of this. This is just, well, as Newt Gingrich said, it's propaganda. And if people are pushing this in a well-intentioned way, you need to change your minds and find the correct data. Both can be true, folks. This whole 1619 project, really putting in perspective the institution of slavery in this country's founding, can be a worthy idea. History and facts about history are good. We could say the public's understanding of this evil institution isn't all there. It could improve. That can be true, but also peddling bad social science to readers that couldn't possibly know any better to support this worthwhile project is unacceptable and shouldn't be swept under the rug. And when you have academics all over the map, people who are experts in these fields, in this part of history, saying, you're wrong, you should correct the record, and these people don't and resort to personal attacks, God help us. We have to get our history right. We have to understand what made us so prosperous today so we can continue to make wealth going into the future and help every person in this country. Leave it to the New York Times to, well, ruin my weekend. They didn't actually ruin my weekend. I had a good weekend. I did read a lot about why we are so wealthy, why we are so rich. Was reminding myself of the history. And the basic formula is free people, freedom before the law, freedom to trade as they wish, but more importantly, the so-called clerisy, all the writers of books and readers of books, the literal religious clerics and politically important people, blah, 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 blah. It's when they started to treat the average person just trying to make a go at life and earn a buck, when they started to treat those people with respect, when the elites treated the townsfolk with respect, that's when we started to see a change. But now we're back to the sneering by the elites, these people that can't stand free people, the average man getting ahead by trading and making his life better. They've got to smear it and smear his ancestors. It's got to stop. Or it will lead us. Well, I'll let you imagine it.
The Dan Morris Show.
Want to carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
Many people here in the Montgomery area are looking for a new dentist. Some of you may have just moved into the area, or your dentist may be about to retire, or maybe it's just too hard to get an appointment with your dentist. The Dan Morris Show has a personal recommendation just for you. Dr. Dan Hudson of Bill Road Family Dentistry. He is a sole practitioner dentist with a heart for his patients. Maybe you need a checkup, or you may need to have crowns or cosmetic dentistry. Dr. Dan Hudson can handle your case. He is a complete dentist who has the latest and most up-to-date dental equipment. He can do crowns in just one appointment, saving you time and money. But the real secret of Dr. Dan Hudson's success is his staff. You'll love the staff of Bell Road Family Dentistry. You aren't just a patient number, but a part of the family of the Bell Road Family Dentistry practice. You'll love this former member of the Special Forces. Resources, who is dedicated to your dental health. Call 395-6695 to set up a consultative appointment. Dr. Dan Hudson, Bell Road Family Dentistry, 395-6695. He will make your smile.
Trustworthy, accurate, immediate. Carrying your voice across the river region. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Your news talk place to be. The Dan Morris Show on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
Welcome back. Only a few minutes left here in the Dan Morris Show. Coming up after this program, right at 3 o'clock, I go to the other side of the desk. And Greg Budell sits in the captain's chair for happy hour. I'm feeling mighty happy today. Hope Greg is. And, you know, after happy hour, check out the Joey Clark Radio Hour 6 to 7. If you can't catch it live, it's available. The Joey Clark Radio Hour is wherever podcasts are available. Please subscribe. Now let's go to Randall, who's on the phone. Hey, Randall, what's up, man?
Good evening, man. I just got one question because we ain't got much time. So if history was what, as well as what you think and how you was taught, if it really happened that way, if the war started out, the Confederate War started out about slavery and about freeing slaves in the South, when all these rebels or whatever you want to call it went to these places to fight, what would have kept the blacks on the plantation, the slaves on the plantation, from taking over, from leaving on their own? What kept them there? If that really is what happened in your mind, if that's really what happened, what we've been taught, what kept them there? Are you trying to say they were weak and they couldn't overcome? I mean, they just let the woman say, hey, y'all stay out there in the shed? Because we've been lied to, Joel, even about that, bro. There ain't no way you're going to tell me a man would have stood there in them houses. Why? Everybody left
to fight. Oh, was off to fight? No, and there were a lot of people that deserted, for sure, and tried to get north to fight for the Union Army.
Yeah, I know, yeah. But it was a lot, it's not even what we was taught. I mean, I wish we had something. And I'm going to go ahead and put it out there. My granddaddy times six owned three humans. I mean, yeah. He got shot up in South Carolina and got wounded. Before he even got wounded, my grandmama was loading up rifles and coffins. She was building coffins herself, made them look just like real coffins, putting guns in them and shipping them up there. When he got hurt, she had to leave to go take care of it. She left to go up there. The my granddaddy and grandmama times five were left there with the three humans who was black. Well, one of them was not all the way right in the head. Man, they raised my granddaddy times five right. For about 4 months before my grandma even come back, bro. We've been lied to, man. I mean,
History can sometimes be a lie. Sometimes people can be mistaken. The point I'm making today about the institution of slavery in response to the New York Times, the 1619 Project, if you want to do a project in your well-read paper about the position of slavery, that institution, and the history of this country, fine. More facts, please, indeed. But what you're going to say, here's my point. Slavery was not only a moral abomination, it was wrong. The whole idea of owning other human beings is wrong, and thank God it took classical liberals leading that charge. But we can also say, and we should say, economically, it benefited only a few people. It was not efficient. Exactly. They're the reason the North was richer. So, I don't understand this rush to damn capitalism. We have to now put capitalism and slavery in bed together. I mean, it's just, I don't know. I find it to be a dishonest, cynical attack. Also, when you have scholars about this part of history saying, no, you're wrong, and what you're doing is echoing the slave owners. It wasn't important to the vast majority of the population of the South.
It wasn't.
You were being exploited. And here's the thing. At the end of the day, exploitation, using the violence and political power to exploit others, is not how the world gets rich. It's how a select few people get rich off the backs of others. But the way the world gets rich, everybody gets rich, is when you have freedom and we can all trade. I'm all worked up about this, Randall, but I care about this issue.
Let me tell you, up north, how it become... the military up north held their slaves by gunpoint. They stayed up there. That's why at the end of the war, that's when the war started changing. They saw that the South was winning because we quit fighting the men and we started taking out the generals. We started taking out the mail carriers. Oh, yeah. We started thinking smart. And so they saw what was happening. Guess what they did? They took one man that was up there. He led come down through here, and he was supposedly free and black. He had them follow him, and then he went across the river and took the daggum thing up where they couldn't even cross and let them starve to death, man. Mm-hmm. But they didn't starve to death because they was in the South, and we took care of them. We've been twisted so many.
Well, in the history of the Civil War, there are so many stories. It is complicated. It's a fascinating point in history if we look at it. It's amazing the role it still plays in modern politics. I got another call coming, Randall, but appreciate it. Let's go to line two here. News Talk, you're on there. Who's this?
Mr. Joey. This is Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, you're doing a fantastic job. I do want to say one thing. I met a preacher. 90 years old, and he had a church in Selma.
Mm-hmm.
And we was talking about it, and I told him this. I said, well, you know, they walk across that bridge. Why don't they go to, instead of going to the courthouse in Montgomery, go through those neighborhoods, Highland Homes, and those projects and stuff down there, and do this. And also in Selma, they have a gang problem in Selma. And he said this. He said, when I had my church down there, he said, did you know? I remember that. I was down there. He said, did you know that 60% of those people who walked across that bridge, the people in Selma, did not even come out? That they were shipped in there. And I said, what? He said, I have a church down there. I had a church in them days. He's 87, 88. And I said, are you serious? He said, yeah, they were all shipped in there.
Or they came from other places. Yeah,
yeah, but it wasn't people that lived in Selma is what I'm trying to say.
Okay. I think we should do both. I mean, you can continue to honor the march from Selma to Montgomery, and then also look for ways to improve the lives of everybody in Selma here in Montgomery. Well, there are true problems with crime, and I'm running out of time, Tom.
Okay, buddy, I'm sorry. Hey, you have a good one. You're doing a good job.
Thank you. We can do all these things together, folks, and we should. And, you know, I was a little bit hopeful. I wasn't as negative after seeing the mayoral forum last week. I think there are a lot of people actually on the same page on what we need to do. It's just a matter of doing it. That's always the deal, isn't it? You can come up with all the ideas in the world. It's just a matter of doing it. That's difficult. Well, that does it for the Dan Moore Show. Dan will be back bright and early tomorrow. Well, right at noon, if you call that bright and early. Coming up next, Greg Budell with Happy Hour. After that, the Joey Clark Radio Hour, and so much more. Thank you for listening.